Love Talk Radio.
Yeah, God bless you. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinciana Sprewell, and I am so excited to be with you. Amen. Going into this early morning, I just want to tell you, I pray that you all had a wonderful and a productive weekend and this past week, and I pray that you guys will have even a better upcoming week than you had previously. Amen. I just want to talk about how when we are expecting those things that we have never seen before. Okay, so I told you guys about how the Lord had given me, if I haven't, it could have been my other audience. You all know I want to give a couple preliminary things out the way. Might as well. I do every Tuesday and Thursday I do a morning prayer, and Wednesday night I do a Bible study teaching. That information can be seen on my Facebook, my personal Facebook page. You can go there and it will show you any information that has to do. Just look at the flyer about the prayer. I've also kind of just put it on the page itself so you can find it that way as well. And it will give you the information as far as the phone number and the access code needed to listen in to the prayer, be a participant of the prayer, and last but least, the Bible study. So I just want to talk a little bit about the importance of what I talked about with timing and seasons. And I told everyone that 2020 would be a power year. Most people called it not a power year. They said it would, they considered to be a visionary year. So 2020 vision. However, if you have 2020 vision, didn't nobody see this coming, right? But everybody want to talk about the 2020 vision. It sounded good. It was a cute little slogan, and folks thought that would kind of be something to be had on their media and so forth and so on. But to really hear the voice of God, one has to really have that relationship with the Lord so that you really can hear what God is saying. And I've been talking a lot about season and timing and the hour that we are in. And so I just think it's imperative, you know, that you understand that when God said that 2020 will be a power year, it's absolutely going to be a power year. To what magnitude, we will see. We're about 4 months in now, in the first part of the year, looking to see how the rest of the, you know, first part of the year is going to go before we get ready to launch into the deep things that God is going to really show us and be able to be prepared for those changes. I think a lot of times we really will say, I think I know what that is, or I know how to do that, when they say it's always good to take a refresher course, even if you have done something and you know how to do it. And sometimes you can see that things can be done in different ways. It necessarily doesn't have to be done the way that you would do it, meaning to get it accomplished. So I just want to say, and I want to bring encouragement to all of my sisters and brothers that may be on the line with me this morning, to know that God is really, without a shadow of doubt, about to, I want to take my time this evening, on this morning, going into the morning, because I think it's imperative that we really get a hold to the mindset of the things. You know, we can go to church and we can have a good time and a good experience, but if you don't, you know, and that's why folks can go to church, shout and dance and have a good time, but when they get back home, they still have those complex problems or addictions or things that they're dealing with that they haven't been able to kick or let go. And that's because we have a form of godliness, as the Father says, but we deny the power thereof. The power is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a brother. Jesus said he would keep you like a brother. Amen? Come on, I know I'm saying some good stuff here. So we need to understand that God, he will see us through. He will help us. He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth if we allow him to. I know that for me, it's like I think a lot about what is it that the Lord is truly asking me to do right now in my life. And so when you start to really reflect on what it is that God is calling you to do, get ready to go into the Word. I got quite a bit of time here, so I'm just talking. And then at midnight, we're going to go into the Word of God. I just want to say that the Bible said God's word is true, and let every man be a liar. God has truly been good to us, America. I mean, I just want to talk about his goodness unto us. You know, I think we have gotten so spoiled that we don't even look at the things that we have as blessings. We just look at it like we got it. Okay, so what? And it's not, I'm not separating the church world from the secular world. I'm talking about everybody in general, all the people, God's creation, that have not given him the praise or the blessing or the accolades or the thanks or lifting his name up for always being such a great provider. It's some of us that now, especially with celebrities, that look at what they have, and because of the things are scarce. Okay, so you have some people now that are celebrities. They're in their mansions and their homes, and they have the best of everything, but they can't get the common things that we all need for just everyday living and basic things like toilet paper and Lysol and all the stuff they need, tissue and paper towel, stuff like that. They can't get that stuff either. And you think, oh, they are rich. They got friends and people in places. No, it doesn't work like that. Everybody, they're really strict about a lot of that stuff right now and what's going on. So they're finding out that they have to go through the same way. You ever felt like some people feel like they're privileged, and they, because of who they are, they can have a different point of access, which I'm not saying that it shouldn't be that way, because I definitely believe in respect and giving people honor where honor is due. However, I think that how I talked about before, God is breaking everything down, and he's letting people come out the gate at the same time. What does that mean? That now he's saying, I have seen enough. So that's what you got to think about. What does it mean that we're coming out at the same time? The same moment. I want to talk about a little bit of this. Just bear with me because I'm going to pull up some things. And I'm going to get to it. Tonight. Just bear with me, y'all. Because sometimes I think of things off the spot. Almost there. Hold on. Let's see if I can get here. And so I just want y'all to be encouraged on tonight and really think about what I am saying about all of these various things that I'm talking about. I know a lot of times, folks, we want to half-heartedly look at something and then nobody wants to really look at things from different perspectives because we just want to feel like this is the way it is and let it be. I just want to go here. Hold on 1 second. I think I'm getting where I want to be. Just 1 second. Because I'm getting where I want to be. Y'all hold on with me. Bear with me. We early anyway. So y'all, those of you who are here, part of the early class. So hold on. I'm going to read a little bit of this because I just really want people to understand some of this here. Okay. I think I know where I'm going to go. All right. So I'm going to teach on a little bit of that, and I'm going to talk to y'all to really understand. I'm going to do some ministering on this evening, and it's going to lead into a prophetic interpretation, and I'm going to go into it now. So I don't want to go into it just yet because I don't want other folks that come in on this and it lead out, but I'm going to just continue the talk before I really get into this because it's going to be some prophetic points that I'm going to pull out other story that we're going to get into reading about Moses and his encounter with Pharaoh so that we can try to understand from a a right now moment, a season and time where we are. And I keep talking to y'all about that because it's imperative that you understand that everybody is talking about this this disease that is affecting people and what's going on in the world. And a lot of people don't understand. This is like as of now in the United States, we've got almost 40,000 people who have died of this virus as of today. And I was watching as the numbers were low and how they drastically have continued to just rise far beyond. So it's like right now we are almost hit the plateau of 40,000 people. 40,000 people. I just really feel in my heart, I just feel heavy in my heart. That this is happening. I just don't. How can I say this? When you hear about something like this and how it's impacting people, and then we have to think about what it is today. How is this, you know what I mean? It's like right now, when the Lord talked to me about this, he said we had to go through the eye. He showed me that, kind of giving me insight of the eye of the storm, meaning in the middle of the storm before normalcy would, you know, return. And so I just want to, you know, really say that God is going to genuinely bring about a change in America and for his people. The Bible says all things work together for the good that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So meaning if God has ordained you to do anything, you are not going to fail in this hour. It's a lot of time that you have to do as far as trusting God in this season in your life. And I know it's not easy with what you're going through and what you're faced with, because we all are human and we all are dealing with things that are complex, difficult, hard to understand. But what I am learning, and I talked about before, is letting dead stuff go. Letting dead stuff go that's not fruitful or prosperous to your life is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself. It's like cutting off the weeds, or taking the weeds out your grass, and or even the weeds that are choking the life out of your vines and stuff for your vegetables and fruit. So it's, you have to really look at things and say, no matter what's going on, I'm going to trust God, and not only trust him, but I'm going to believe him in this hour. Despite what I'm seeing and what I'm looking at, I'm going to trust God through this. Because if you look at the world, if you look at the news, if you look at the media, if you look at social media, if you look at everything that people are saying, all it's going to do is get you discombobulated and confused. Yes, there's nothing wrong with you looking at those platforms and reevaluating things and trying to figure it out for oneself. And I think that's what is most important, is for you to really evaluate your situation, figure out what it is that God really wants you to be doing in your life. I cannot stress enough of the importance of you getting in the mix of things right now for you to really get prepared what it is that you feel you are not doing, should be doing. If you haven't started, get ready to start. Abundance of blessings are coming our way in Jesus' name. That's what it's going to take. I hope you are y'all following me. We almost got about to hit the plateau at midnight on the East Coast. And when we get there, we're going to get ready to go into the Word. I'm going to be reading. It's going to be kind of lengthy because of the text that I'm coming from. But hopefully you have your Bibles with me. And I'll tell you where we're coming from to keep you guys posting and abreast of everything. So all you have to do is be a good listener, be attentive, and hopefully you're following along with your Bible. I know a lot of folks use their phones and digital platforms for a Bible, but I'm still kind of old school. I guess, you know, I just believe in take what it is. So look at what it is that God wants you to have, what God wants you to do right now in this season in your life. And it might take you to walk out on faith a little bit for those things that you want to come to pass. And I think we all are walking out on faith. We're walking out on faith because we've never been here before. But we trust in God through this because we know that He has our back. We know for a fact God will not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. The Bible said He is our buckler and He is our what? Shield. Oh my goodness gracious. I mean, if you just think about everything that has transpired, amen, basically even in your life, even in your walk, and you got to go back and you reminisce and you start to think about if it had not, what the old folks to say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? I can shout and say hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I know I feel that way. I don't know about you, but I know I feel that way. And I just think that right now, where we are, folks don't realize, they won't understand it. They won't see it. But see, that's why you have to understand time and you have to understand season. You have to have your spiritual eyes on this. A lot of people going to miss it, y'all. They're going to miss this opportunity. They're going to miss this moment that could have changed their life forever. They're going to miss this time where things are going to happen. Things are going to open up for people such as never before ever has been seen. And God is going to really open up doors and the blessings of opportunity. But people are not going to get it because they're being biased, because they're being envious, or because they simply don't care and they think what they got going on is enough, and whenever they get to it, they will. You ever met some people like that? They're real nonchalant about stuff and laid back. But I'm a firm believer. When God says the door, okay, portal is the word the Holy Ghost just gave me. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to read that to y'all so we can understand. This is the terminology. God talks to me with terminology a lot, so I have to use the terminology that He's giving me. So let me go and find this word. Hope y'all having a blessed night so far. And I hope that all is going well. Amen. Okay. Now, God said we will be in a portal. Okay, so the portal is a doorway. It's a gate or other entrance, especially a large or imposing one. Now, this also, I'm going to tell you something else about a portal. Let me see if it'll tell me here, and then I can see to understand it. Okay. It's accessed through a specific way. Okay. But it's also with the portals, they close. It doesn't say this within this translation, but that is what I know. With portals, they generally do not stay open but for a certain period of time or for a season. Okay? Now, I'm talking prophetic to you, so understand what I'm saying. They are access, gateways, entrances, and they are, you may have a doorway to something, but hear what the prophetess is saying. It is only for a certain period of time. It's only for a certain season, meaning that once that portal has closed, you can't go in or you cannot go out that way again. So even on here, and according to Webster's Dictionary, it's letting us know that it says a way out, an exit, an opening, a door, a gate, a threshold, entrance, and doorway. So this is what the meaning of the portal is representing. It represents to be able to have access in or access out. However, that is only for a limited time. And what am I going with that? I'm letting y'all know that God is about to allow good things happen for us, y'all, but it's only going to be for a limited time. So did y'all understand that about the portal? And I like doing my show because God talks to me when I'm talking to the people. He gives me things and it's raw, so it's organic. It's not, I know I like to have formal, you know, that's like a lot of folks preach. Everybody different. You know, I'm not about giving people sales stuff, or I don't mind leftovers, but, you know, I'm not real huge on leftovers day after day after day. Give me something fresh, something new. I like my fish hot off the press. Like, I don't really want the fish from yesterday. I want, drop me some hot fish today, and I want to eat it as soon as it come out the pot. Same thing for some chicken. You know, I don't eat fried chicken often as a rarity for me, but when I do eat it, I really like it hot and fresh off the press. So what am I saying is I'd also like to give people, I like to be organic and give you what God is giving me, which is hot and off the press. So whatever he's telling me, I want to be able to relate that to you in actual time, in live timing. Is that, that makes sense? Amen. So thank God it is midnight on the East Coast, and we have hit the plateau of 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I want to get into the Word of God. Now, we're going to be talking about Moses, and we're going to be talking about how him and Pharaoh, which was the king at the time, who he was. I'm going to go into depth at a much later date to let y'all know it was not Ramsey,
But I'm not going to get into that because that's really a theological debate, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to share with that because I have a lot of writings that back up my theory behind it, and I want to be able to express that to you in a different way as a platform when I do give that information, because it was really deep how I had went into a deep research about it, and it wasn't no overnight thing. It was days I really sought into really understanding what happened. I can tell you the timing of Moses and the people and the children of Israel was around 1250 B.C. This is off the top of my head. Let's see what the internet says, because I want to see if they got, what timing they have. The timetables are very imperative. People don't understand. They think that doesn't mean nothing. What does that mean to me today? It means a lot. Let's see what the internet is saying in regards to the research of the timing. Let me see if I can put it this way. Okay, let's see. Okay, they do have it, you all. They have it earlier, predated earlier than me. I think I told y'all around 1500, if I'm not mistaken. They have 1447 B.C. Predating back to 1447. And it says, I'm just going to read what they have here. They say, we don't know the dates of Abram and Moses with certainty, but we have a good idea of approximate dates. Most likely the Exodus occurred around 1447 B.C. Moses was 80 years old. Now, that's accurate. He was 80 at the time. So he would have been born around 1527 B.C. and died around 1407 B.C. The Israelites lived, the Israelites had lived in Egypt 430 years prior to the Exodus. Okay, that is accurate. So they have them predating back to about, that's kind of right. They had them predating to about 1527 B.C., and they're saying that's when they figure he was born, but they're saying that they came out of Egypt, out of when all the plagues and everything, they're saying that happened around the middle of 1400s, but from my research, it was a little later than that. So I have the Exodus around 1500 B.C. They have it at 14. And it's significant for you to understand the date they did come out and around, because it reflects who those pharaohs and kings were at the time. And if you have certain dates, it goes to certain people, which if you don't have it accurately, then you're missing out exactly who he was under and who was the person, which was the Pharaoh that did give him the trouble. So at the end of the day, it was not Ramses the Great. Oh, it was Ramses. That is mystical. And people, you know, that's why you have to do your research. That's why you have to be knowledgeable of the word. And, it, you know, we say a lot of stuff, but we don't know what we're talking about. We just say stuff because it sounds good or it's, we've heard it before, and it just sounds like something great to talk about, and it make you sound smart, but you're not, because you don't even know what you're talking about. And so then if you have somebody that really understands and is knowledgeable and know exactly about what you're, what you think you know, what you're talking about, it just makes you look stupid. And I'm all about trying to, you know, it's okay if you don't really know and you're taking a hypothetical guess. There's nothing wrong with that. But to blatantly talk about, like, you're talking as in facts and you just don't know what you're talking about, it just don't make sense. Like, I heard someone say something. I'm not going to put them on blast. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. All right, so let's go to Exodus chapter 7. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to give you a foundation. And I'm not, I told you, I told y'all much later date, and I'll come back to this, who Pharaoh really was, the Pharaoh at the time of Moses and what Moses was fighting. Moses, God called Moses out. Moses lived a long life. He was actually, we know his backstory about how he was actually was Pharaoh's sister. He was her son that he was floating on the river. And at the time, the Pharaoh had put a decree in the land that if any child was born that was a male Hebrewite, to kill them and throw them to the crocodiles that were in the Nile at the time. And so they were feeding the crocodiles with the newborns of the males that were born, because they said that it was an over influx of them and that they was going to take over because they was having kids left and right. That's what the word was. So the backstory of that with Moses is that he was chosen by God and he was handpicked, set aside. So I want you to understand this from a scholarly perspective. If you understand that Moses, he lived a life as an Egyptian. I mean, we know that, but do we know that? Do you understand the culture was totally different? And how he lived in his life as if he would have been raised as a Hebrewite was more a modest. And remember, they were under the oppression of the Egyptian government. So he actually grew up in the house as a prince. So he lived the life of a prince. Do y'all understand? Moses lived the life of a prince because he was the king's, but they don't call him king, they call him Pharaoh, but he was the king's sister's son. So if he's the king's sister's son, his cousin, which was who he was fighting up against, they were both princes. So that's the reason why, just think about it, why wasn't Moses beheaded when he came back to Pharaoh time and time again? Because you have to understand the relationship there. That was his cousin. They grew up together. They had played together. They both were looked at as royalty. But there was competition between the two. And it was more so because it wasn't more so the competition from Moses. He was more the humble person. It was the cousin. It was the Pharaoh's son who had taken over the spot of his father, and he wasn't about to allow his cousin to feel like, you're going to get any glory from my dad. This is my kingdom now. My dad is gone, and I'm running, and I'm calling the shots. I don't care if you is my auntie's son. I'm not going to allow you to have any spot in our life. I'm taking over. So you got to understand the psyche. And that's why Moses was able to go in did you know not that you could not enter into the chamber of the king without asking? If you came in the king's presence without asking, in historical times, you were already would get beheaded. Like, you could not enter into that chamber without asking. And for Moses to come back with all the things that was happening time after time, he was able to do that because of the relationship that he had with his cousin. Now, let's go into the Word. Let's just read about what God is saying. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 7. We're going to skip along here, and I hope y'all are following me. So Exodus chapter 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." We know a prophet is one that directly hear and speak from the voice of God. "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh." And he sent the children of Israel out of his land. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of the earth. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by a great judgment. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 80 years old. So he was saying that was 80, and the other, and Aaron was 83. If you look up the timing, I don't have to go into all that. Just okay, follow me. Okay. "When they spake unto Pharaoh, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." Okay, so now I want to talk a little bit about this. Why did God, out of all things, tell him to turn his staff into a serpent? And we know, we think of the serpent, we know that is a representation of Satan himself. Now, you have to understand that at the time, the Egyptians were very mystical people. They believed in a lot of magic and wizardry and all of that. So by them, and then they believed also that the snake represented a high, it was a high symbol, a high status. And so by Moses being able to turn his staff, or Aaron, I should say, into a snake, that was a big wonder in front of their eyes because they worshiped the snake. That's why you see the images of the snake coming out the top of the crown of the Pharaoh's headdress. That is not fake. That's really what they did. The snake always was on the headdress of the high pharaohs, y'all, because it was a high representation. Now, let's go on and read further. And Moses, I'm at 10, Exodus 7 and 10. "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt." So he had a whole clique, y'all, of these what we consider today as astrologers. You know, we call them wizards. You would call them, I mean, these are, you know, sorcerers, those in diver and different black magic, and that's what they were doing. And then he says, "They also did in like manner with their enchantments, For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. So now it's like, we're going to show you. You showed us that you've got power to turn your staff to a serpent. We got too. And they were able to do that because they were really off into that stuff really deep in Egypt. I'm going to go a little further in talking about that. So y'all follow me so you can get a hold of what I'm saying. Let me see where I'm at. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, and Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So now this shows pure power, the power of God, the Father of heaven. Aaron's snake swallowed up their snake. To show that you think you got power, but our God possessed the most power, the God on high. Okay. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. Now we're gonna look into some of this. So follow me. He goes to the water. We got time. I'm gonna break it down. And thou shalt stand by the river brink against him. Okay. And he cometh, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in thy hand. So God said, use this rod. This was the tool that God had them use for power. Every prophet has a tool. I want to get into that later, okay? Something you use, okay? Something you use. They have it. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. And then the word of God says in 17, thus said the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. However, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand unto the waters which are in the river. The now we're talking about, and they shall be turned to blood. Now, there is a theory I heard people talking about that it was a certain time of year or something, the water could turn red and it made it look like blood. No, 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 no. This water was really blood, y'all. Okay, so I want to get that clear. Okay, and it says, and the fish that is in the water shall die. Okay. It says, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds. Now, listen here. We always think of that he just took the rod and the river. Come on now, y'all follow me. We always think it's the Nile River, but no, God, that's why it's good to imperative to emphasize what the Lord really did. God said no. He said go to their rivers, go to their ponds, go to their pools, go to every access that they have for water. Listen, I'm going to go over there again. 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water. All their pools of water, y'all, that they may become blood, my God of heaven, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt. I'm going to stop right there. So God was really showing his power. He was doing his thing. He, like, go put every stream up. every stream of water they got. I want you to turn every stream of water they got into blood. Could you imagine being one of the Egyptians at the time? You're an Egyptian and you go down and you getting water. Because think about it, they don't even have the water system we got. They ain't got no flowing water. We know that didn't even come until the Romans brought it into place. And so there you have people that are looking to get water just to drink. And they go there, and the water is actually blood. And the Bible says that it was the fish in the water died, and it had a stench all throughout the land. Now, let's continue reading, okay? And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, and the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the rivers, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the rivers were turned into blood, and the fish that were in the rivers died, and the rivers stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt, and the magicians of the Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Think about his psyche, y'all, that the mindset of this man, and then says that so after this, it says, and Pharaoh was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, meaning to listen. And the Lord said, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to do this also. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days were filled after that the Lord had smitten the river. So for 7 days, these people could not have access to water. I'm going somewhere, y'all. I know I'm continuing. It's a little long-winded where I'm going, but follow me on this. So we're just talking a little bit about the plagues, and then I'm going to why we're even discussing this on tonight. And then it says, chapter 8, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, this is after he don't turn the, this, I'm going to go into that. Okay, let me stop. And chapter 8 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, let's go back. Thou said the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the rivers shall bring forth frogs abundantly. Now let's think about what we just read and heard. God said that the frogs, and I, this is where I'm going to come back to this, because this is my point. And those of y'all that got wisdom on this morning, you're going to be happy that you was here so you can understand. So we see that God allowed this thing to happen to them, right? And where did God say it came from? It says, and the rivers, it said the river shall bring forth frogs of abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine houses and into thy bedchambers and into thy beds, meaning your bedroom where you sleep, bedchamber, we know that was elaborate for him, and into the houses of the, he said, I'm going to your servant's house and unto your people, and that's all the people in the land. So not only am I coming to your house, I'm not only going to come to your head, I'm coming to your servants, all your workers, I'm coming to the people in the land, and I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with y'all. And it said, unto thy people and into thy ovens and into thy threat. I can't say that word. I'm sorry, y'all. Kindling through. I guess that means to go through. So bear with me. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand for thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and thou cause the frogs to come up unto the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand out over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians, listen, y'all, did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of the Egyptians. And if you notice that every time that Moses and Aaron, a wonder or a miracle or signs would take place, the magicians will also mimic it, even though they were bringing havoc and terror upon themselves. But because of their arrogance and because of their pride to show that they feel that their power and their gods were greater, they wanted to challenge Aaron and Moses on everything that they did. Okay. And then 8 says this, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord, meaning go talk to your God, that he may take away these frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Remember, God was just asking him to let the people go and pray into the wilderness to him, and he wouldn't allow that because, remember, he was working them day and night strenuously to build his kingdom, okay? And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? He like, when do you want me to go talk to God? And he says, and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only. Okay. And he said, tomorrow. Like, go talk to him tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. He said, okay, I'm going to do that. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from the houses and the servants and from thy people and shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord. Now listen here. Not only did he entreat God, I'm sure he talked to him because that's his cousin, and he loved him. And Moses was saying to him, he said, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought unto Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the words of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses of all the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. So this is the second time we see the land stanking at this point with a stench because of the deathness in the land. Okay. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, meaning that it was peace, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them. And the Lord said, we're going to read a little further, and then I'm going to be done, y'all. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust. God said, he's still not getting it. Okay? So let me go a little further. So God said to Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, and it may become lights throughout the land of Egypt. Now, I want y'all to understand what lights are. Lights, y'all know what lights are. They've been here forever. So we see they've been here for thousands of years. The Bible even tells us that. Those are them little things, and I'm telling you, these were not the lights that the kids just get light, you get lights in your hair. These was lights that was on your body, tormenting tiny, a little pestilent irritants in your skin that was biting you. So let's see what the Word of God says. And it says, and we see they dust. You see, they were just, you smite them and they were like dust. And it says, smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand and his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in men and beasts. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. Now, look, these tiny little bugs that bite men, that was in their skin, was not only biting the people, they was in the animals. My God. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lights, but they could not, so that their lights was upon man and upon beast. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They said, you know what they said? You know what? This is too much. This is the hand of God, and we can't listen what the people say. And it says, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not hearken unto them. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say this unto him. So basically, when Pharaoh get up to clean himself, take his morning bath, God is saying, okay, go and speak to him, and this is what you're going to say to him. He said, thou said the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people, and in thy houses, and in thy houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein thou art, I will serve in that day of the land of Goshen. So it tells us that's the area where they were at, in Goshen. That's where the people of God dwell. I do know that. In which my people dwell. Okay, that's where they were. That no swarms of flies shall be there to the end. Thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. So God was saying, it's going to be flies over there where you're at, near Nineveh. But it's not going to be no flies in Goshen, and that was further north, so where they were. But he was letting them know near when you're going near Nineveh, that's even further, that's outside of Egypt. But he was saying, as you're going that direction, heading south, you're going to have swarms, just annoying flies. But it's not going to be none north where my people are. Okay. And it says, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So God said, I'm going here for a reason. I want y'all to understand. God said, I'm going to put a rift. He said, between my people and your people. Meaning that I'm going to cover mine, and I'm going to know. And for your folks, you're going to see what's going to happen to them. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and in his servants' houses and all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of swarms of flies. Oh, I know that was terrible. And Moses called for and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, and if you don't notice, he always goes back to Moses. He's always pleading to them, but he just won't do right, right? And then it says, and he said, go ye sacrifice your God in the land. And Moses said, is it not meant so to do? For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God? Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will they not see, stone us? He's saying that if we do these sacrifices before the Egyptians, before the people, they're going to want to stone us. Then he goes on to 27, says, we will go 3 days. He said, we're not going to do it here. He said, give us time. Let us go away. He said, we'll go 3 days. We'll journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And this is what Pharaoh says. I will let you go that ye may sacrifice unto the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat me for. So he's like, okay, I'm going to let you go, but guess what? I'm not going to let you go far. So you got to be in eye distance so we can see what's going on with y'all. And Moses said, behold, I will go from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. He said, you being deceitful, I have went to God several occasions on your behalf, and you continue to do the same thing. Okay. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did accordingly to the words of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people, and remained not one. Not one fly remained when God was done. Okay. And it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at the time, also neither would he let the people go. Okay, we're going to read this last chapter, and we're about done. And then I'm going to explain why I went here and what I feel in regards to the text and how it's relevant to us today, okay? Then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thou said the Lord God of the Hebrew. Now, see, this is when God wasn't playing. Now, if you notice all the other times, God said, the Lord said, they said the Lord said, but he said, now, I'm have to let you know who I am. I'm the God of the Hebrew. I'm the God, these is my people. So let me talk to you. See, God came, he came a little different. So he says, then the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him, thou said the Lord God of Hebrew, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let go, I will hold them still. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the fields, upon thy horses, upon thy asses, upon thy camels, upon thy oxen, upon thy sheep, upon thy grievous murrain. And the Lord said, sever between the cattle of the Israels and the cattle of the Egyptians. He said, I'm going to separate the cattle, and what you see for the Egyptians is not going to happen what you see for the Israelites. And there shall not die of all that is in the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow, Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did the thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of the Egyptian died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one cattle of the Israelite children that was dead. And Pharaoh of his heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses, and said unto Aaron, Take to you a handful of ashes, my God. Take to you a handful of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. He said, now when you do this, go right before Pharaoh's face, and this is what's going to happen. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blands upon man and upon the beasts throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards the heavens, and it became boils breaking forth with blands upon man and upon the beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils was upon the magicians and upon all the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Moses, and he hardened not unto them. And the Lord spake, and we're going to finish out with this chapter, y'all. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, arise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thou said the Lord God of the Hebrew, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, and thou mayest know that there is none like in all the earth. Now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exalted thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, this is what God said, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now. He said, the hail that I'm going to cause to come down on you, you have never seen it before. This is what God said. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought in the house, he said, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. This is what God says. This is the word. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the fields. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon the beast, upon the herds of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground. Did y'all hear that? Fire. It says, and fire, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled, my Lord, with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, and that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron. We're going to close out this chapter, y'all, so hang in there with me. And said unto them, I have sinned. Oh, now he's repentant. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunders and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread about my hand unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, and the barley was in the ears, and the flax were bald, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten. So he said the barley they destroyed, but the wheat to make the bread they didn't destroy it, for they were not grown up. Okay, this goes to 33, and it says, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread about his hands upon the Lord, up unto the Lord. I apologize. And the thunder and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, and the Lord had spoken by Moses. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I could go on forever. So I wanted to say a few things out of what we read because our time is limited on this morning. As we can see, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I want to give y'all an explanation to give y'all understanding, because sometimes people don't understand why he gave Moses such a hard time. I explained to you guys that they were cousins and to have a good understanding of that. But you also have to know, I talked about how I'm recapping y'all back on this now, so I hope you guys were taking mental notes of what I was saying if you weren't writing it down. If you understand that Pharaoh and you see the magicians were always trying to compete with Aaron and Moses because they felt that their enchantment and their powers, we see the enchantment and the mysticals and the powers, and they believe in words, how they left all those things in the tombs that we see today to show you how deep they were into a lot of that, which we consider today to be sorcery. Okay, so with that being said, I want you to understand Pharaoh himself perceived himself to be a god. He himself declared himself to be a god. If you have somebody that feels that they are a god, then they don't feel that there is nobody higher than them. And that's one reason why he would not bow his head. It wasn't only because the Lord had hardened his heart to see his wonders be done in the earth. It was because Pharaoh's heart was really hardened to believe that nobody was better than him. He felt that he was the king of the earth and that he had it going on and wasn't nobody better than him. And why would he let the children of Israel go? Because they belong to me. So that was his concept and why he was thinking that. As we can see, as we read along, to understand that God allowed these things to happen. And people are trying to figure out what we're going through. God has allowed these things to happen. This is a device from the devil. It is wicked. And I want every child of God that's under the sound of my voice to know and to pray, to ask God to protect you. Remember that when Satan went to before God to see if he could allow him to have Job go through the things he did. God said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "Yeah, but you kind of got him protected. You've got a hedge around him." So we know that God will put a hedge around us. And as I read through each one of the plagues, you notice that God protected them. He protected them when they held and it rained on the animals. Their animals were not destroyed. Come on, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to preach right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. When everything you saw, that when it was hail and when the boils came, my God, come on here. The boils didn't touch them. Did none of the children of Israel, not one of their cattle, not one. When it rained and the hailstorms came, not one of their cattle was destroyed. When the flies came, come on, not one was. Then they came by groups, swarming around. I would have went nuts because I can't stand one fly, let alone to see maybe a 3,000 flies around in your house. You know that was annoying. And they don't have the window systems and stuff like we got in their houses, one structure like ours. I know they were going nuts. Listen here. Let me tell you something. When these things come upon the earth, I hear the prophetess on this morning. When these things come upon the land that have been devices of the devil and are wicked, they do not affect the children of God. God's word says in Psalms 91, that 1,000 will fall by thy side, 10,000. He said, but none will come nigh unto thee. What are you talking about, prophetess? Everybody wants to say, we're trying to say, we all the same. Nobody's better than us. No, no, no. We are the children of God. We are the royal priesthood. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We stand on the word of God. Yes, we're not reckless. Yes, we're going to listen to what they're telling us to do and in regards to the social distancing and all that, and that's fine because we're supposed to obey the land of the law. But one thing I'm here to tell you, and yes, we're going to protect ourselves because we're not going to be reckless because we living among the wicked, okay? And because of that, we're going to do those things decently and in order. But I'm telling you as the woman of God that even when they can't find these things, these necessities, because we are living in a drought, we are living in a famine, we are living in a plague and a society that's plagued right now. But I'm letting you know right now, if you obey the word and the will of God and you stand on his word, ain't no plague coming to your house. Do you hear me? Every one of your friends and your family will be covered in the blood. We've got to stand on the word of God. We've got to ask God to protect us through this time and this season. And we've got to trust him. When other folks won't bow their head, and I'm going to tell you about a nation because I don't want to get in trouble, that wouldn't bow their head is the reason why we got it and still have hardened their heart and won't listen to God and got all of these idols set up before God and they won't worship him. And God has to send a sign to say, listen here, I am God. Are y'all going to acknowledge me? Or are you going to simply ignore me and act like I don't exist? I have given y'all these homes. I have given y'all these cars. I have given y'all this food on this table. I have filled y'all closets with clothes and given you the best luxury cars you can drive. I've given you these cars. I have. The Bible said God gives man power to gain wealth, and we have taught it ourselves, put our heads in the air. We've gotten beside ourselves and act like we earned it, we've done it, and we don't need God for anything. And he's here to let everybody know in this nation that you have to bow to me because I am God. I am your supplier. I am the healer. I am the one that will heal thee. And now you see people praying to God all over in all countries because they're realizing that they have not built themselves up, but it is God himself that has given us these things. What am I saying? I'm saying God had to remind the nations who he was. Did God, this thing was allowed to be because it was evil, it's of the devil. But let me tell you something as the woman of God and the prophet in the land. If you believe and speak this thing back to the pit of hell when it came from, it will go. It will go. It will go. Did not we see that the prophet came and spoke, and as he did so, spoke to God, that it cleared up, that the frogs went back. It said the frogs went back into the rivers. The water went back to normal. The frogs, they piled, the frogs died, and they put them up in heaps, and you were stinking, but we got a stench right now. See, oh, my God, we got a stench right now. We got a stench in the land. We got a stench of death that's going from house to house. We've got 40,000 people that have died of this thing, and it's a stench in the land. But somebody has to bow their head to know that God is in control, that God is our healer. And when God feels that we've gotten it, then we will see this thing die and dry up and go back to the pit of hell from whence it came. Y'all getting me on this? Y'all getting me? So what I'm saying is we possess power. We're protected. There's angels around us. See, we've got to ask God to cover us. Even though I didn't even go that far because I just didn't want to keep reading and reading, but as we know that they covered the post over the door so that that angel would pass by them. And we've got to do that right. We've got to pray to God of heaven so that the death angel will pass by us in the name of Jesus. Power of God, anointing of the Holy Ghost. Fall afresh right now on your people. And I ask God that you protect a shield, Lord, that the death angel pass by us, God, by the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of the Lamb of the Most High God. Let them know, God, that it is you and not we ourselves that have blessed us beyond measure, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank him and we glorify him and we magnify his most holy name because he is and God all alone. And I love you and I wish I could be here and spend more time with you. But I hope that you can go back and read and understand and what the word is saying in the Holy Spirit. What is the Spirit saying and speaking to the church on today? Amen. I love you, and I want you to be blessed, and I want you to get a hold to the things of God. Know the seasons. I keep talking about the season. Know the time that we're in right now. This is our hour where we've got to get our hand and turn our face to the wall and hear what thus said the Lord is saying. I love you, and I want you to know that I'll be here next week, same time, same place. This is your number one prophetess called to the nations for this generation. Raw Point Santa 3. Well, I love you. You be blessed and have a great day.